This hour of the Jason Rand Show is brought to you by Farrah.com. There's a lot of news happening all around the world and right here at home. So let's find out what's trending.
What's trending? Let's get political.
The fraud who said he supported AR-15s staying in your hands is now trying to sort of save his spectacular failure of a presidential campaign. Beto O'Rourke is pushing for not just a ban on AR-15s, but an actual confiscation. I love the language that he uses around this. We're going to force you to buy them back. We're going to buy back your AR-15s as if you actually purchase any of your weapons from the federal government. They'll force you to sell it back to them. Back. Now, as he's doing this, as he's trying to get as much attention, trying to connect with folks who are concerned on the Democratic side, especially with the proliferation of weapons, in particular scary-looking ones to them, Beto O'Rourke made one of the dumbest comments I think I've ever heard him make. And it's so transparently false, I'm shocked that even the folks over at MSNBC didn't call him out.
And even from those Texans who own AR-15s, they've told me this themselves. I don't need this. I don't need it to hunt. I don't need it to protect myself. It was fun to use. I like taking it out to the range. But if giving this back or cutting it to pieces or selling it to the government helps to keep us safer, then by all means, let's do it.
That conversation never happened. The only time any of that conversation took place, any of those quotes, was when he was practicing the lines with some staff member on his campaign. There is no one in Texas or anywhere who is an active user of an AR-15 who said, oh, you want it back? Okay, fine. Just if you believe that this is going to help do some good for the world, I will give it to you. Factually, that makes no sense, right? So let's say someone who has an AR-15 believes that they're dangerous. The person who says, I'm going to deliver it to you just if you tell me that doing so will mean no one else will die, are they claiming that maybe they are going to become a mass shooter with their AR-15s? No, of course not. My presumption is these are responsible gun owners who aren't going to use the weapon for any nefarious intent. But number two, you do realize y'all can go ahead right now and give up any weapon that you want, right? You can turn it in. You could sell it back. You can turn it into your local police department and have them completely destroy it or do whatever it is. Like, you don't have to hang on to your weapon. This conversation did not happen, but it's a strategy to go out there and say, hey, if you're in this arena, if you kind of feel like you might back me, why don't you go ahead and say you'll give it up? And then what ends up happening is people go on Twitter and they will proudly proclaim in a tweet, I am with Beto. I am ready to give up all of my weapons. And then, of course, when you do even just a cursory investigation, they don't own weapons and they've always been anti-gun. It is a phony, contrived strategy to push a very specific narrative because they want the world to believe, and especially they want Republican gun owners to believe, that your time is done. Your hope that you can stand up for the Second Amendment thing, it's really stupid anyway. It's not even the First Amendment. It came second, so it's not that important. Your time is done. Look at all of the peer pressure around you. This is a peer pressure campaign, and it's a really transparently bad one. But now you've got some more Democratic support because they're in on this game. And by the way, in doing so, in coming out in favor of what Beto has come out with, they're essentially undoing years and years and years of strategizing of them saying over and over and over again, no, we're not coming for your guns. Stop. We want, quote unquote, common sense gun legislation, but we're not talking about confiscation. We're not going door to door. And then just like that, they are talking confiscation. They're literally talking about confiscation. And they're backing this idea. Representative Adriano Espaillat, Democrat from New York, was on CNN.
I agree with Beto. I think that we should not be playing this very conservative approach with regards to weapons ban, background.
By the way, just for a conservative approach would actually not moving forward with a gun ban, but continue.
With background checks, with the all the whole array of bills that are on way to be passed and not supported by the American people.
No, they're not. No, they're not. I saw Nancy Pelosi on Twitter talk about H.R. 3. This is the supposedly bipartisan bill for the common sense gun control law, which is simply universal background checks. It is not a gun background check bill. If it was, it would have already been passed. What this does is make it illegal for 18 to 20-year-olds to own a handgun. What it does is allow any state to have a fee on gun ownership with no cap whatsoever. What it does, according to this bill, you will be treated as a felon if you, as a gun owner, go to a gun range with another gun owner and you've got two different styles of weapons and you say, hey, can I take one fire of that? I kind of want to feel how that feels in my hand. I want to see how it operates. If you were to do that without going through a transfer that incurs a fee that has to take place at a gun shop, you will be treated as if you literally gave that gun to a felon that you know is a felon who shouldn't own a weapon. That's not the right way to do things. And that's why people like Mayor Pete Buttigieg are coming out and saying, well, actually, man, some of this language coming from Beto O'Rourke is playing right into the hands of the Republican Party. Although, in the same breath, he also takes positions that are dramatically crazy and plays into the hands of Donald Trump.
Yes, look, right now, we have an amazing moment on our hands. We have agreement among the American people for not just universal background checks, but we have a majority in favor of red flag laws, high-capacity magazines, banning the new sale of assault weapons. This is a golden moment.
No, they don't. Everything of what he's just saying, that's just not true. I believe they have that on the left. I think that's true. But they don't have the American people's position on any of this. And frankly, to be fair, I don't know how the American people would act on red flag laws. I bet you right now you can go outside and ask someone to define what is meant by a red flag law, and not only would they not be able to do it, but if you actually did the work for them and explained what it was, all of a sudden, if you position it in a certain way, they're going to be like, oh, I mean, I kind of get what you want to do, but that might not be the right thing.
Finally do something, because we've been arguing about this for as long as I've been alive. When even this president and even Mitch McConnell are at least pretending to be open to reforms. We know that we have a moment on our hands. Let's make the most of it and get these things done.
Let's take advantage right now. Let's exploit what's going on. Got it. That actually also plays into the hands of the Trump administration and his reelection campaign. Let's find out what else is trending.
What's trending in Seattle?
So in the totally safe city of Seattle, nothing to see here, nothing going on here, no problem here. We saw a shooting Friday night at West Lakes Light Rail Station. God, that's hard to say.
You powered through it, though. Good job.
No, I didn't. I stopped and I brought attention to it. And now you're trying to make me feel better. It's not working.
You're terrible at your job. Quit.
Well, then now just I've lost all focus. One person was killed on Friday. Two others were injured in the shooting.
As I get down into the tunnel, on the bottom escalators, there's a guy sitting there bleeding out from his leg. And I was like, are you okay, bro? And he's like, no, don't go down there. There's a shooter.
That's a witness talking with Cairo 7 TV. One male suspect ran away. Images of him have been posted online. If you want to see what he looks like, you can go to mynorthwest.com. Here's Detective Mark Jameson.
We don't believe that the shooting was random. We believe that there was some sort of relationship between the suspect and the victims.
My sense is, based on hearing what he just said and reading some of these details, this is probably related to gang violence, which we know is on the increase, not just in Seattle, but in Everett, in Tacoma, all across Western Washington. We're now starting to hear stories of gang violence in Bellevue, a place where we would never hear that before. Why is that happening? It's because of a breakdown in the rule of law, a general culture that does not respect cops, a general culture of bad guys knowing that they can get away with this nonsense because they're not going to be charged. And when if all of a sudden you know you're not going to be charged on some of the light issues like stealing stuff from breaking into a car, breaking into a home, or maybe doing some drug dealing on the corners, it makes sense to me that all of a sudden they're going to feel more enabled, these criminals, to maybe start to use that weapon. They know that there's a cop staffing problem in Seattle. They know that the police in Seattle are not respected by the act. They know that. And then on top of that, you know what ends up happening in a story like this? This gun death on Friday that was targeted and most likely a result of gang violence, it is going to be used by anti-gun activists to go after weapons. Not realizing, or maybe realizing, that all that does is say that mom who has a concealed carry permit, who carries a gun on her light rail link ride from Tukwila to downtown Seattle where she works, that single mom from Renton who just wants to protect herself, you're making her life more at risk because you're going after her gun. You're not going after the gun of the bad guy who just used it to murder someone. You know what bad guys with guns do? Break the law. You know what they don't do? Follow the law. You know what they're definitely not going to do? Oh, when you knock on their door and you're Beto O'Rourke, sir, this is former Congressman O'Rourke. I'd like to buy back that weapon. Do you have any here? No. Go next door. I think they do. You think they're going to turn over the weapons? No. But that mom in Tukwila, that family in Spanaway, that father who lives in Milton, the gem of Pierce County, they're not going to say, I'm not going to follow the law, because they're responsible gun owners. 1-800-465-877 if you want to send me a text on the Numb Better Tax Resolution Hotline. 1-800-465-877. We just got a text from Tom in a 360 on the Numb Better Tax Resolution Hotline listening to us talking about guns. And he said, have you heard of the new book, Why Meadow Died by Andrew Pollack? He, of course, is the father of Meadow Pollack, who was lost in the mass shooting in Stoneman Douglas. He's actually going to be on the show tomorrow, and we're going to talk about this because he has a thing or two to say about gun violence and some of the so-called prescriptions that are supposed to work that don't actually work. He's going to be on to talk about that. Let's find out what else is trending.
What's trending? The sports ball.
So a little bit of an unexpected win for the Seattle Seahawks yesterday. They go into Pittsburgh. They take on the Steelers. The assumption is it's going to be tight. But, man, it's hard to win on the road. And yet win is exactly what they did. Producer Peyton has all the details.
Russell takes the snap. Looks far side. He's going to throw downfield. He's got Metcalf. He's got a touchdown. Seahawks. DK Metcalf one-on-one down the far sidelines. Good luck.
Hey everyone, it's producer Peyton here with your Hawks Sunday recap. The Seahawks won 28-26 on the road against the Pittsburgh Steelers. Russell Wilson played absolutely out of his mind, throwing 29-35 for 300 yards, 3 touchdowns, and 0 interceptions. Can't complain about a performance like that. DK Metcalf, the rookie who has all eyes on him ever since day one of the preseason, scored his first career touchdown, and Will Disley, the tight end, cashed in with 2 touchdowns of his own. Let's see what Pete Carroll had to say about Sunday's performance.
It's a terrific win for the franchise today. We're on the road like this and playing such a tough place with a club that we're always concerned about when they got Ben on that side and the defense, the way they play, it just challenges you. And the fans were there and all that. Our guys hung in there, and it was really important that we make this trip in particular because we got some more coming up and show our guys that we know how to do it and we can go cross country and play in the morning and play good football.
The Seahawks, who have one of the toughest schedules of the season, face the New Orleans Saints next week, but catch a little bit of a break. Quarterback Drew Brees won't be making the trip. He's going to be shut down for a few weeks after needing surgery from yesterday's game. The Hawks are now 2-0 on the season and want to keep that momentum rolling as the Saints come marching in this weekend. For the Jason Ranch Show, I'm producer Peyton.
Hey, look at you! That was your first on-air feature.
Yay.
Were you nervous?
Oh, yeah.
To make a lot of screw-ups and have to correct them.
So nervous.
How did Peyton do, ladies and gentlemen? He happens to be very passionate about sports, and so what do I end up doing? I force him into a position where he's actually talking about the thing he's passionate about. Send us a text. I know that he wants your deep, constructive pieces of criticism.
Tell me how bad I suck.
You can do that as well. Text us on the Numb Better Tax Resolution Hotline, 1-800-465-8770. How did producer Peyton do? 1-800-465-8770. Let's find out what else is trending.
What's trending? Big picture.
So NBC News really tried to make this story a big deal over the weekend. It was driven by their animus towards conservative activists. They had a story about a transgender woman who was fired from a coffee shop in Lincoln, Nebraska, after she told this evil, mean conservative activist that she wasn't welcome to drink her coffee and eat her crepes at this cafe. And she ends up getting fired, this transgender woman. Fired! And oh my gosh, fired for just standing up for her right to survival. That's how NBC wanted to position this story. The intent was for you to feel sorry for the transgender worker and demonize the conservative activist. You should do neither of those things. This is a vile activist who believes in ideological bigotry. She's tolerant until you have a different perspective than she does. And no business should put up with this kind of nonsense. But of course, she considers herself, the transgender activist, a victim. Marilyn Sinek is from the Nebraska Family Alliance. This is a conservative, pro-life organization. Natalie Weiss, when she's not working, is actually pretty active in the community. She's been working to pass a statewide ordinance in order to ban discrimination on the basis of sexual orientation and gender identity. I certainly believe that we should not be firing people on the basis of their sexual orientation. I think when you bring gender identity into it and pretending that there are 100 different genders, it's not nearly as cut and dry as some activists want you to believe, which is exactly part of the reason why this ordinance isn't really gaining any traction. This woman, Natalie Weiss, is the canvas director for the Nebraska ACLU and Out Nebraska, which is a statewide LGBTQ advocacy organization. So because she's not been able to drum up a lot of support or enough support to get this ordinance passed on a statewide issue, she blames conservative activists like Marilyn Sinek. Now, according to NBC News, they say Weiss said she called Sinek's name and said to her, quote, "I thought I recognized you. You should get the F out and never come back." Weiss couldn't recall her exact phrasing, but noted that her words were vulgar. In a statement to NBC News, Sinek said that Weiss called her, quote, bigoted trash, and that she was not effing wanted here. Talking about at the coffee shop. Sinek added that Weiss said if she came back, she would be refused service. Weiss said she understood that the interaction was unprofessional, and that while she expected to be reprimanded by this cafe, she was not expecting to be fired. Just real quick, producer Payton. If you ever talk in any vulgar way towards people who come into this office, regardless of your intent, regardless of how you feel, if you call them bigoted trash and they're not effing wanted here, you will be fired.
Understood.
Even if I agree with you. Even if it's someone who I totally hate. You know what that's called? That kind of behavior? Say unprofessional.
Unprofessional.
No, but say it with the... I'm cheating. I'm giving you the answer.
Unprofessional.
Unprofessional!
What? What if I'm, like, yelling that at you?
You already do that, and I haven't fired you yet.
I know. That's what I'm curious about. That's why I'm asking. Well, should I be worried?
You should be worried when I give up and say, you know what? You can't talk to me that way. Then I can you. Then you're done.
Keep that in mind.
If you do this to anyone, including people you just simply don't like, you are going to be fired because it's a bad reflection on the place of business, right? The place that you work for. And you're not there to dictate who should and should not be allowed to get service at your cafe because of your ideological perspectives. Now, what I love about this, because of course we are now in victim culture of the Democratic Party, she goes on to say, we were told we were allowed to ask anyone who makes us feel uncomfortable and unsafe to leave, so I felt empowered to do what I did. The soft, unspoken caveat was that people had to make us feel uncomfortable while we were working, not outside of the shift. Yeah, that's normal! That's normal behavior, you big dummy. That is normal. And here's the problem. I guarantee you now, the company's going to have to come back and say, you know what, I know we said this before, but now, sorry, you can't do it. She responds in a way that she knows is wrong and she wants to defend herself. She believes that because she's personally offended by some activist political perspective, she can go ahead and just kick that person out and refuse service. That is morally wrong. It is incredibly intolerant. You do understand that just because you believe your position is the right one doesn't mean everyone has to subscribe to your beliefs. I have a position on a whole number of topics. That's literally what I'm paid to do, is give you my positions and analysis. I do not presume that everyone has to agree with me or they shouldn't be a part of the conversation. Quite the opposite. I love talking to people who disagree with me. Love it. I don't like it when they call me Nazi, the gay Jew. I tend not to really respond to that, and I won't engage in those people. But people have good faith arguments that they want to have a conversation with me. I'm happy to have those conversations. I have a position that I believe is right. And for the most part, I believe you guys have a position that you believe is right. Sometimes we're on the same exact page. Sometimes we're not. And that's okay. I don't want to live in a world in which we're denying service to people based on their political beliefs. Do you not realize how wrong it is coming from the activist who's transgender, who presumably is going to have to deal with people who are bigots, who don't respect her transgender identity, saying to you, well, I'm going to deny you service because I don't like your quote-unquote life choice. That's, of course, wrong. And you would fight tooth and nail to highlight that. You're doing the exact same thing, except you're doing it from a position of arrogance. You're all tolerant until someone says the wrong thing. Then you're no longer tolerant because you can't be that tolerant in a society in which Democrats rule. 1-800-465-8770. 1-800-465-8770. Send me a text message on the None Better Tax Resolution Hotline. Producer Peyton is still waiting to hear all of the criticism. You're getting some good things, except for this one dude who says you should be fired immediately.
Was that you? Did you text the line?
I mean, it wasn't not me.
Thanks.
1-800-465-8770.
Kent, Olympia, Everett, Sammamish.
This is the Big Local on the Jason Ranch Show.
Sumner, Woodinville, Des Moines.
Stories about you, not about Seattle.
Whoa, look at the time. 4:30 on a weekday afternoon. It means it's time for the Big Local, brought to you by Sean Keller Smiles by Design. Concept is really simple to understand, or at least I hope so. The media here, they're all hyper-focused on the city of Seattle, so they end up spending most of their time talking about Seattle, ignoring all of the incredibly important and interesting, and yes, sometimes quirky stories happening all across the state. So we decided to do the opposite. We ignore Seattle and we focus on you, and we start this afternoon in Issaquah, where classes at Issaquah High School, they were on time this morning despite a student being arrested for a supposed online threat that was made last night. The student is a female. She allegedly posted a video on some kind of social media site. I'm assuming it's Snapchat or Instagram. And while they don't specifically mention a time of or date as to where this threat of violence was supposedly going to happen, police worked pretty quickly to figure out who did this, and then they arrested this girl last night. Elle Michelle, Issaquah School District Communications Director, told our sister station Cairo Radio.
They were able to identify a student, and they made a decision to take that person into custody, and so therefore we knew that it was safe for us to go ahead and hold school.
Cairo 7 TV reports that this girl was booked into King County Juvenile Detention Center on felony harassment charges. Now, the spokesperson couldn't comment on a possible punishment for the student, and she says they're still kind of trying to figure out exactly what happened.
I do know that we had community members reach out to the school and, have you seen this? So we often get information from our community and from our students, and we're very, very grateful for that.
So in other words, see something, say something. Someone saw something that was a little suspicious on Snapchat or Instagram or Twitter or whatever. They contacted the school, and it sounds like a lot of parents contacted the schools, and they acted. But exactly what's going on?
When you have a situation like this, and we do need to act, but I do think it's important for people not to speculate too much until we have all the facts together.
Yeah, well, I'm a talk show host, so I'm going to speculate a little bit. Here's my guess. Put this in Jason Tells the Future. Put this in volume 17 of Jason Tells the Future. One of two things is happening here. They're either overreacting dramatically or they're underacting dramatically. No one's going to come back and after we find out what this girl allegedly did, no one's going to say, oh, you know what? They acted appropriately. It's either going to be, okay, can we just relax a little bit? There's clearly no threat, or that's all you did and you didn't warn us about this? There's not going to be somewhere in the middle. My sense is because it happens on a social media site and it's happening in a world in which the quote-unquote adults don't necessarily understand how kids use technology, mixed in with an understandable anxiety surrounding violent acts in schools because of the way that it gets covered in the media, everyone gets really, really concerned and anxious. I totally get it. You mix it in and you get this. That's my guarantee.
When is there ever an appropriate reaction to anything? Everything's always over.
It does feel that way, right? And when we're talking about teenagers, again, I just have the sneaking suspicion, the way they're talking about it, there's got to be a reason why they're not giving the details of what the threat of violence might have been. I'm not saying that the cops overreacted. I'm saying the school maybe did. That's all I'm saying. Because the cop's going to have to do what the cop's got to do based upon what it is that you're alleging. And they're going to have to. So they're either underreporting the seriousness of this because they don't want to freak anyone out, or they're overreacting in a way, and it'll come in where some girl had, you know, she made a gun out of a salami sandwich, and she pointed, I'm going to get you, and then everyone's pretending that this was a legitimate threat. That's just my gut instincts on a story like this, based upon having covered stories like this in the past, but we'll see. Look, at the end of the day, I'm glad no one was hurt. I'm glad they figured it out, and I'm sure all the students there are glad that it didn't actually impact their day, because they were really, you know what's the best school day? Monday. Everyone knows that. LARPing is apparently very popular in parts of Western Washington, including Port Orchard, where Q13 focused on a whole bunch of nerds dressed up in medieval gear. And LARPing stands for live action role playing. So they go through these sort of fake, but not necessarily fake fights.
We all just want to hit each other. That's what it comes down to.
That sounds really healthy. I mean, I have that feeling all the time. Maybe I should join a LARPing group. June Bordas was kind of like me, making fun of these dorks. But then tells Q13 that, hey, they had a change of heart.
I always kind of looked down on LARPers, though, because I was like, oh, I'm not one of those nerds. But then I tried it, and it was a lot of fun.
Then she's all like, I guess I am one of those nerds. At least they're all acknowledging that these are a whole bunch of nerds. Anna Crosby and Zach Wares use LARPing to get away from life stresses.
There have been a few times, especially after my son's father and I split up, that I really thought of just quitting.
I went through a divorce 2 years ago, and you know, it was a little rough. I don't drink or nothing like that, so like it's kind of nice to have something to do outside of you know, the typical party scene.
Okay, fair enough. Q13 says the rule book is pretty extensive. All weapons are tested out before battle. And a great-grandmother watching her great-grandsons is paying attention. I like that. They've just got a grandmother out there just like, hey, you kids. Kids, be careful. You almost poked his eye out. They say headshots aren't legal unless it's with a projectile like a rock or a javelin.
The javelin?
That shouldn't be legal!
It's not like a track and field javelin. It's a Nerf bow and arrow.
Okay, so it's not a pointed...
No.
But what if they say a rock?
And that's just what they call their
it's not an actual rock?
Objects that they throw.
Wait, so no one dies?
No. Not even close.
Big babies. You want to hear from the mother of the year?
Yeah.
Her name is Candy.
My son has been participating for just shy of 2 months. Everybody that has had a teenager knows sometimes it would be really nice to hit your teenager with a bat. I get to do it in a safe environment with people cheering me on. What's not to love?
The idea of vocalizing the fact that you just want to beat the ever-loving crap out of your son with a bat. I mean, there's that. Although I suppose if you ask the son will be like, oh, I just want to beat up my mom. Which, again, sounds like a really healthy relationship. What they don't tell you is the kid, 47 years old, still lives at home. I'm kidding. I'm sure that this is just weird, so I mostly tell you this to remind you that nerds are out there. And if you see a bunch of nerds getting together in a field somewhere doing things like this, they're probably LARPing, so don't be alarmed. Or they might be mentally ill homeless people, and that means you're in the city that we don't talk about during this segment. Finally, friends of the Aberdeen man killed by police say they don't believe he was actually armed, despite video evidence showing him having a gun in his hand. People who knew the 41-year-old, his name was Christopher Fitzpatrick, they gathered for a vigil yesterday to celebrate his criminal life. One friend told Cairo 7 TV,
when you watch that video, you can't say that anything happened besides what happened. That a man was murdered.
No, a man wasn't murdered. I can actually say what was happening. Because when you're shouting out that you're not going to be going back to jail, because he's got a criminal record, and he refuses to comply with police instructions, and then he pulled out a gun, guess what's going to happen? Pop quiz. What happens, Producer Peyton, when you're a bad guy, or even a good guy, who pulls a gun on cops?
The cop's probably going to pull a gun back.
Yeah.
Probably going to fire
his weapon.
They're
going to shoot you. They're not going to murder you. They might kill you, but that's not murder. See, murder is unlawful. When you decide to pull out a weapon and threaten the lives of these brave men and women who are trying to serve their communities, when you do that, you're going to die. I'm okay with that. I'm okay with people pulling guns and not being able to shoot their gun at a cop or some passerby before them being taken out. I'm okay with that. I would prefer that. Because otherwise, what's going to happen is you might shoot and kill an officer. You might shoot and kill some dude who's just walking by. Some kid who's walking by. I'm going to take the cop side on this 100% of the time. Sheriff Rick Scott of Grace Harbor County.
He had a firearm on his person.
Yep.
He brandished the firearm,
yep,
pointed it at the officer,
yep,
which resulted in the shooting.
That's going to happen. That's going to happen when you decide to do that. Right, Aberdeen Police Chief Steve Shoemate?
Warnings had been given to put, yep, the gun down. Unfortunately, the suspect did not heed those warnings.
I don't say unfortunately, even though I understand his position, right? I would prefer that no one get shot and killed because there's not a single officer in Aberdeen or Tacoma or Everett or Snohomish or anywhere in this country that goes to work wanting to shoot and kill someone. That stays with you. You're going to deal with that trauma. even when you are 100% right to take the action that you took, that stays with you. Ask any officer who's ever used a gun. They do not want to use their weapon. However, if it's between you and them, I'm going to root with them every single time. And I'm not going to say that it was unfortunate. I'm not going to say that. What would have been unfortunate is that bad guy using that gun. But of course, his friends don't believe any of this.
I've known the guy for 4 years. In the middle of ugliness.
Yeah.
I've never seen him with a gun.
She's never seen him with a gun. So obviously, he's never actually used a gun. Now, yes, he had several felony warrants for his arrest. But he's the good kind of criminal with several felony warrants out for his arrest. He's that kind of guy. Because you know what? She's never, in the 4 years, that lifetime in which she's known him, he's never shown her a gun. That must be it. Got it. 1-800-465-8770. You're listening to The Jason Rand Show. We're live in the online Trading Academy studio. Don't forget, go behind the scenes of the show. Give me a follow on Facebook, facebook.com/Jason Rantz Show. Seattle Public Schools is seemingly all in on what they're calling an inclusive policy on school uniforms that pretty much says you can wear what you want with some limited rules. You can't have like pornography or vulgarity on your t-shirts or clothing or any kind. And for the most part, you can't be indecent, meaning you're not showing off body parts. It's not uber low skirts or short shorts for the boys, not for the girls, by the way, because, you know, kids these days. Give them an inch, they take a mile. The policy, weirdly enough, I kind of like. I don't like the way they talk about it because they talk about it in a way that is just dripping with social justice language, which makes something that's not political more political. But I kind of appreciate it. We talked about the school, I believe it was in Bothell last week. And, you know, some parents are upset that there's a school uniform for the kids there, and they're outraged because kids can't be who they are. They can't be independent to express themselves. Actually, while I hated every single one of those parents who complained because they're the worst kind of parents, I agree with that. I totally agree with that. Kids should be able to express themselves, and a way to express yourself is with a certain hairstyle, with a certain fashion style. And we should embrace that. Now, they say the district's core values related to student dress that serve as the foundation for the rules of the policy are as follows. Students should be able to dress and style their hair for school in a manner that expresses their individuality without fear of unnecessary discipline or body shame. I like that. That's a good rule. Makes sense to me. But here's where it gets a little bit tricky. And here's where I'm wondering if they're going to actually follow through with what it is they promised to follow through on. They say students have the right to be treated equitably. Dress code enforcement will not create disparities, reinforce or increase marginalization of any group, nor will it be more strictly enforced against students because of a racial identity, ethnicity, gender identity, gender expression, gender nonconformity, sexual orientation, cultural or religious identity, household income, body size or type, or body maturity. It then goes on to say that you're not going to be punished essentially for any kind of political expression. At least that's what they told me. Because I checked with the school. For the most part, you can get away with whatever you want so long as it's not inappropriate, nor is it somehow divisive. Meaning it would reasonably get a sort of response that could lead to disruptions or violence. It's a pretty bold and general take on what they'll allow, which I like. I like to err on the side of more speech rather than less. But immediately I said, hey, you know what? You say you can't have hate speech on your clothing. Hate speech, legally speaking, doesn't exist. That's not an actual thing. Hate speech generally refers to people who get upset with one particular position that you're taking, not solely using racial slurs, for example, but taking political positions that they believe to be hate speech. And so I immediately reached out to the school district and I was like, hey, are you telling me that the kid who wears a Black Lives Matter t-shirt will be treated exactly the same as someone who wears a Blue Lives Matter t-shirt? Will the kid who proudly supports Elizabeth Warren or Bernie Sanders, would that kid be treated the same way as someone wearing a MAGA hat or a MAGA shirt? If the kid comes out and wears a shirt that takes a political stance in favor of open borders, a progressive position, a fringe progressive position, would you take and allow a kid to wear something that says the opposite, which is border enforcement? They told me 100% yes. They said they will absolutely allow it. Now, part of it is because legally they have to. But the question is, are they going to actually live up to that? Now, I don't know how many kids in a Seattle school district are willing and you know, eager to wear MAGA, you know, T-shirts or hats, or T-shirts or hats that take conservative positions. I have no idea what that actually looks like in Seattle. I'm going to assume that there are some conservative students. The reason why I tell you this is because if you find out that they're not living up to what it is they're telling me, what it is now a part of public record, because they did all of this in email form, so I've got it all written, I need you to shine a spotlight on this. I need you to reach out and tell us. Because while I absolutely applaud the school district for this type of policy, I'm still skeptical. Because we are in Seattle. This is happening in Seattle, where a lot of teachers are actively pushing very progressive social justice ideas. Go to almost any school in the Seattle area, you're going to find a good portion of the teachers there pushing a very specific political agenda. That's wrong. It's wrong if it was coming from the right. It's wrong when it's coming from the left. You should actually just do your job and teach the information. Your math class should not be filled with why you hate Donald Trump. So I am very curious if they're going to live up to the standards that they've put out there. And if they are, if they have not just the intent, but they actually go through with this and practice what they preach, we should all get together and say, you know what? Thank you. Thank you for that. I know I don't generally like being put in a position where I'm thanking someone for doing something that they should already be doing because it's the right thing to do. But again, this is Seattle we're talking about. If all of a sudden they decide that they're actually going to follow through with this and they're not going to punish students and pretend that some kid wearing a MAGA t-shirt is deemed violating their hate speech conduct, I think we should say thank you for that. Because you're teaching kids a lot. Because not only are you upholding your own views, because I'm presuming that that student wearing that MAGA t-shirt or hat is doing so to express him or herself and their own political views, but they're also teaching a whole bunch of other people who really hate what that stands for that, hey, you live in the real world. You know what happens in the real world? You're going to meet people who maybe you disagree with politically. And you're not going to be able to just simply run to someone and get that kid in trouble. You could maybe have a conversation with them or simply realize that seeing someone with a t-shirt you don't like doesn't impact your life at all. Like, literally at all. And so for that, we should be thanking them for teaching kids something. So I'm looking at this glass half full approach. I'm going to trust that they're going to follow through, but I'm going to verify. And so again, if any of this is being violated in your view, you can send us an email immediately. Our email is available over at ktth.com. You know how to follow me on Facebook, facebook.com/JasonRantShow, or just twitter.com/JasonRants. We're going to hold them accountable on this. But right now, love the policy. 1-800-465-8770. It's the Jason Rant Show.